This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you. 1 hour in the books, 2 hours to go in the big show. Did I do that right?
You did.
Look at that.
Wow, Nick, take lessons.
Suck it, Nick.
Wow, Nick.
Yeah.
You've been trying that for how long?
Boom.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to do that until 2:30.
No, there's one after 1 hour, and there's one at the halfway break.
Yeah.
Okay. You're always worried about what's in the rear. You need to worry about what's in front of you. Well, the windshield is bigger than the rear view for a reason.
If you lived his life, you'd worried about what was in your rear, too. Rear view mirror. You didn't let me finish. You know I love you, Nick. I mean, not like that. I don't want your – never mind. You know what? We'll just move on.
Yeah, it's better to move on. It's
getting
awkward.
Are going to get Raheel at some point, right, to come and talk about the fiasco that was his three-point shooting contest?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can have him call in the next segment if that's cool.
Yeah, that works.
Or
that
now. We're having him now? Are we having him now? Because he hasn't called in yet.
No, yeah, just whenever you can get him. Whenever you can get him works for me.
All right, cool.
And also, is Radu coming up with some links for
Yeah, we got
Funny
a couple
Friday?
Clips so far. I'm working on the third, and I'll start playing them in the next segment for sure.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that.
Look at you being all neat and tidy and taking care of business today. Yeah.
Of course.
I don't know about a course.
I'm all on top of it, man.
Well, you got the top and the rear covered then in this
That's
show.
Right.
I'll just be your middleman. See
what
I did there? Look at
gross.
How that comes together.
You're so Woo. Gross.
All righty. Someone said, well done, Barry. That's by far your best segue ever.
Uh-oh. Thanks. Because I used yours. Is that why?
They're giving you a fist bump and everything out of the deal. I think that's good. Hmm. Don't hate all the time.
I can tell you this. People are very angry at Raheel.
Yeah, I saw a lot of venom being tossed around on the text line.
A lot of folks bet that he would make three in a row, and apparently he didn't. I said take the over. I don't even know if he made the over or the under. So
he did. He went under.
Oh, he went under.
And you guys have shot where he shot. He did it at the Met. I told him that that's our home gym. The rims are soft. You're going to be in a good position. And here's the kicker of all kickers. Well, you know when you watch the NBA three-point competition, half the battle is you only have so much time. So you got to get those shots off and get them off quickly. He didn't have a time limit. You could have sat and set your feet.
Really?
And taken all day. You could have been timed with a calendar and
but
still
gotta
not run out.
But you got to find a rhythm. It's not always
been
good to have time.
At that point. Yeah, I see. I agree. You're trying to get into a rhythm, not overthink it.
But here's the thing, fellas. You're not using your legs like you'd have to if you were going quickly and you start to tire out. So that's something to keep in consideration, too.
Oh, hey.
Let's bring him in.
Look at that. Let's do it.
Raheel. Without further ado, Raheel, we're getting a lot of hate text messages for you because, and I was unaware of this, but they said that you were way too cocky and overconfident and that things didn't go well. We're in Beaumont. We don't know how things went, so why don't you walk us through it?
Yeah, man, and first of all, thank you, everyone, for participating and putting some money on the line. I appreciate that, and it was a fun deal. You can watch it on Facebook right now on our ESPN Houston page, which is facebook.com/975Houston. So going in, you know, doing my warm-up, I did it twice, two different days, four different shooting sessions, replicating everything, and I felt good about the three in a row. Like, that was the lock of the century to me. I put my own money on the line, and when I got to two, every single time, I choked. I mean, there's nothing else I can say. I choked, man.
So you didn't hit three in a row, and what was the final tally?
The final tally was 11 out of 25, which I'm not happy with because I'm trying to go for the over. But the one I was telling everyone was a three in a row. So for those of you that lost your college funds and next month's mortgage, hey, man, that's your fault. That's not my fault.
Wait, so you were telling people, oh, yo, put all your scratch on three in a row?
Yeah, because
that was your lock of the century? You can move as if it's already been played?
Yeah. It was like it was already played. And, again, I felt so good, man. Like, every single time I shot, I hit three in a row at least twice. And the final time I did it, it was just the easiest. I did four in a row, or four different times I did three in a row on my final shooting session. You know, and I just choked, man. And what else can I say?
Was it warm in the gym? Was it warm in the gym?
Okay, Joel, you know this. You play there every week, right? So it's kind of dark in there. I play in a gym that's a brand new gym, so it's really like the lights are bright. It's like it just looks better. So that took a little adjustment, but not an excuse. It was just something.
I was just going to say, if it was warm in the gym and you didn't have a towel, I mean, the sweat could have gotten in the way and it could have affected the overall performance at the end of the 25 shots.
No, I felt great. Like, I wasn't tired. It wasn't too hot or anything like that. In fact, after I finished shooting around, I did a workout because I just had so much energy. It was just, it was a good old choke job, guys. That's all I can say, man. And I own up to it. Because that three in a row felt good every time. I'm about to go back and watch it. But every time I was at two, the next shot felt great, and it just wasn't in the cards.
Well, I appreciate you owning up to it by admitting that you choked. A lot of people wouldn't do that. They would have a ton of excuses. So it speaks of your character to own up to it. Now, are you plans to pay everybody back that you screwed out of their money?
Yeah, as soon as every pro team ever that screwed me over pays me back, then I'll pay everyone back.
I feel you. Now, they could bet on my bookie, right? Like, this isn't something that we were just making up. They could actually get some money on it?
Yeah. Here's a little interesting tidbit, guys. So at 10 o'clock, we started talking about it a lot on the show, right? Because it was the final hour of our show, and I'm feeling really good, man. My back's feeling great. My legs are feeling great. So I'm telling everyone again, play the yes. And the number at the time was +250 that, yes, I would hit three in a row. So many people bet that my bookie had to adjust the lines. And the numbers were like, the juice went down. So it went from +250 to +140. So there was so much action coming in.
So you didn't just screw them, you pounded them into the ground. I mean, you absolutely just took them to the cleaners.
Yeah. Well, now, no, they're like, thanks, Raheel. Thanks for the hookup there. Because so many people bet yes and lost, then I'm sure they're like, thanks, Raheel.
Wow. Well, you know what? You tried, though, bud, and you owned up to it. And it takes a big person to get on the radio and admit that they choked. Would you do it again?
Oh, absolutely. I'm already planning the comeback. But first, next week, John Granato is going to put his golfing prowess to the test, guys. He's going to be doing a putting contest similar to what we did today. He's going to putt from 12 feet out from four different spots. And we're going to have the same thing. The lines will come out Monday. My bookie's working on it right now. So next week is going to be Granato against the putting green.
Ooh. I don't know. Is there going to be alcohol involved? Because to me,
no, he's going to go sober.
He's
for
looser,
sure.
You think, with a little liquor.
I was going to say, you know what? Like bowling and darts, I think I would want John Granato liquored up when he's putting. I feel like I would want him on a couple of Coors Lights.
Yeah, you know, maybe we can talk him into it. But next week, for those of you that missed out on this week's challenge, next week is going to be JG against the putting green. And again, that promo code that you mentioned earlier, Barry Radio, they're going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar. So if you created a new account and bet on me, you use my bookie's money and lost, not your own personal money, so I don't feel bad.
There you go. That's dope.
Hey, Raheel, pro tip. You can use the towels at the Met, but you got to give them back before you walk by the front desk.
Oh, that was so wrong.
All right, man. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to that. And again, mybookie.ag, you can bet on Johnny Granato on the putting green next Thursday.
Nice.
All right. That's there you go. Cool. Yeah, good stuff. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're in hour number two. Tweets, hit us up, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter, it's the usual suspects, ESPN 975. Hey, there's a flag wrapped around
the score of men. Hey, check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 975 app. Download it today. Drink. drinking a German beer. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You crazy. I got one of them pro-black wives. My wife pro-black. Everything got to be black on in my house. This shit is crazy as hell. Y'all think I'm playing my salt black. That's how pro-black she is. I can't even eat white salt. She is. And the white salt cheaper. See, you need to see yourself when you eat. And I'm like, okay, she's crazy as hell. My sugar brown. Can't use white mayonnaise. I use that little nasty stuff with the bell peppers and onions. It tastes like Big Mac sauce. You know, the sandwich bread. Can't stand that, dog. I can't use white mayonnaise, huh?
There he is, Bryson Brown. He's going to be performing with me tonight at the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase down at 45 South and Fuquay, on the show with Kristen Lidner and Zaya Devji, Rob Mungle, myself, Dan Hornstein. It's going to be great. I'll be closing out the show. So why don't we go ahead and give you, I promised you guys I would give away some tickets to the show tonight to see who you just heard, Bryson Brown, amongst others. So let's do that now. And I just texted Ken and I said, hey, man, I'm going to give away a ton of tickets if you're okay with that. I want people to come out and enjoy it. He said, no problem. So here's what we're going to do. Callers 4, 5, 6, and 7 will get a four top. That means you get up to four tickets. You don't have to use all four, but you'll get up to four tickets. So tell them how many you need when you call in. Callers 4, 5, 6, and 7, 713-780-3776. Just when Radu answers the phone and you're a winner, just give him your name, email, and cell phone. They'll be waiting for you at will call. 713-780-3776. Good luck.
So you're Charlie Pololo now.
How cool
is that? You're
just
going with the low numbers.
I mean, you know.
That's an unbelievable deal. The fact that people, if you don't realize what a four top is, but,
bro,
you know, when you get a table at a comedy show for up to four tickets,
yeah,
and there's multiples in there, that's a big deal, folks.
Yeah, Ken's cool, man. He wants to have a good time with this going away party, and I don't even know where we're at on sales for the show or whatnot. So, yeah, get them while you can.
There you go. Also, just a reminder, we are at Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder Avenue in Beaumont. You should be here, too. Stop by and see us. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Main thing is, it's happy hour all day and all night long until the Blitz gets out of here. 250 Bud Lights, Miller Lite, Coors Light, Lone Star Light, Budweiser, bottles only. $4, you call it liquors. I'm telling you right now, you know there's going to be football all day and all night. College football tonight and tomorrow. Pros on Sunday. All kinds of specials there as well. Stop by and see us and Fred and AJ and the Blitz all day here at Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder.
So I'm doing my picks for later in the show, getting everything together.
Yeah.
And I was punching all the numbers into this fancy spreadsheet that I have. I would have never thought to take the over in a Texans-Dolphins game. Would you? The over was 45.
I heard AJ talking about it, and I think it was hovering between 45 and 46, and he was pretty confident.
I would have fired under all. He was confident on the over?
No, I think he was confident on the under.
Yeah, when you're talking about a Thursday game, those are usually ugly games, low-scoring affairs. It's two teams whose offense hasn't been great all year. The Dolphins can't. You know, we talked about the running issues for the Texans and the Dolphins' inability to stop the run, and I would have just never thought to fire over on those two teams. They hit at 65, and it was set at 45.
Yeah,
that's insane, man.
I was thinking about it because I was driving home and I heard those guys talking about it. And I was like, that's a pretty fair number. And then I saw third quarter and they were already within a touchdown or less.
Yeah.
And then it just kept going. I was like, oh, it's blown out now. I mean, that's crazy regardless of what number you locked it in at.
Yeah, that's wild.
So, we've covered a little bit of Texans. We covered a little bit of Rockets. Plenty more to get to on the agenda. But if there's something on your mind you want to get on the show, we are here for you. 713-780. Also, by the way, we mentioned this before. We'll mention it again. This is grand opening week for your people over at Vortex.
Yeah,
we
man.
Were talking about it yesterday, but it goes all the way through Sunday. So people need to get to Vortex as well and realize there is a lot going on and some great deals to be capitalized on if you need a workout and want to get your boxing and cycling workout in the Midtown area.
I was pretty disappointed that I was unable to get out there because, you know, being under the weather and all. I really wanted to make the trip and get my boxing class in. Since I knew I wouldn't be able to do it Tuesday, I thought maybe for sure Thursday, but then I got sick. So that sucks. But, yeah, get on out there to Vortex, man. They've got some great deals going on and great place to work out. All the scenery really smart. Everybody looks really smart, if you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying. And the other thing, are you going to watch the World Series tonight?
I am.
See, you and I are baseball people. But I hear so many people checked out on the fact that they don't even know that there's a series still going on because the Astros aren't in it. And that's a shame to me because, you know, if you're a baseball fan at all and you're watching it and you're also realizing, hey, you can see where maybe the Astros screwed up. You can see how good of a team the Red Sox really are to this point to be up 2-0 and realize that the series isn't over because it's just getting started. If the Dodgers do what they're supposed to do and they cover their home games, series is going to be a long series. They've got their best pitcher on the mound tonight in Buehler.
Buehler's been a stud.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The Red Sox are kind of in a precarious position. One, because with no designated hitter, you got to find a home for J.D. Martinez. Now we're hearing he also has a sprained ankle and don't know if he can play. But one of the suggestions that we had heard from some of our listeners as well as others leading up to this situation is Mookie Betts may play second base.
Yep.
If that's the case, your outfield is not as good defensively as it would be if he was in right field. But lots of things to keep an eye on. I think the series is far from over.
I tell you what, though. I said Red Sox in seven because I felt like that these teams were pretty well matched up. There's two things that obviously you shouldn't pick off of feeling when it comes to this. I feel like the Red Sox are going to win tonight. And I'm going to go out on a limb and go ahead and since we're talking about weird feelings that you get, I think your Packers are going to beat the Rams this week. I was watching stuff and I was like, man, I bet the Packers do the unthinkable and beat the Rams this week.
I think they're going to cover the spread because I think that Rodgers is very motivated by the fact this is the biggest spread he's ever faced as a professional. I'm not going to – you know me. I'm not betting with
two
my
things,
heart.
Though. I feel like the Red Sox are going to win this game, which is pretty much going to make the series over with. I think the Dodgers might win game four.
If the Red Sox
go
win
back
tonight,
on the
it's
road.
Over. Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing. So one of the things that Cora has taken from his time with A.J. Hinch is the fact that through the playoffs to this point, he has used his starters as his relievers, and it has worked very well. But in Boston, he had Uvalde as well as Porcello warm up several times, pitch a few times. Now those guys, Porcello tonight, Uvalde's expected to go in game four, are going to pitch in Los Angeles. It takes a toll on your arm every time you're up, you're down, and especially when you're in the game. And I think to this point in the series, it's worked out for him. But I'm not expecting long starts for these guys. And I think that the Dodgers can capitalize. I will say this because you were out and I wanted to get your opinions on this. The one thing that I have heard, and I wanted to see what you thought about this, but there's a lot of Dodger fans, including a lot in my wife's family, that aren't real pleased with Dave Roberts' managerial decisions for the Dodgers so far in this series, simply because he left his four best power hitters on the bench for the first two games to start with because of the fact that they were facing lefties. And I just think that you got to ride who got you there. And at a certain point, you got to realize, hey, it might not be ideal with the matchups, righties and lefties and lefties, righties, et cetera, but you got to go with the guys that have brought the big sticks for you all year, and I can understand why he's catching some heat.
Yep, I agree. I think you can't leave your best players on the bench because of a situational matchup. It would be there's a time to do that, you know, and sometimes you can outthink yourself, you can overmanage, and if you've got studs on the bench and because you don't like the lefty righty matchup.
See, I go back to Buck Showalter when he had Zach Britton in the playoffs and didn't use him.
The last thing you want
to do is to go back after a loss in a game or a series and go, you know, if I'd have played my best player, I might have had a better chance of winning. You don't want the woulda, coulda, shouldas. You want to be able to leave it all out there and say, I put my best lineup, my best players in a position, and I trusted them. If it didn't work out, I would do the same thing again.
It happened earlier this year, and I forget the specific example, but there was a bat I wish I could remember who it was, but somebody did the same thing again where they had the opportunity to put a lefty at the plate as opposed to a better hitter. And God, I wish I could remember who it was. But you see this time and time again where, you know, managers are, oh, well, we got to go back to the book and the lefty-righty thing. But a lot of times they do that with hitters but not pitchers because when you think about the Astros, they're a team that's like, you know, we're not going to worry about a righty-lefty matchup. We think that these guys can get lefties out. So just because they're a right-hander, we're not just going to not put them in the game. We think that they can get these lefties out, and they'll do that. And I think that's the smarter play. And I think you'll see in baseball trend to that more often. But managers will still on occasion just fall because it's the safe play to say, well, it's a righty-lefty matchup that doesn't favor us, so we're not going to put our best guys out there. And it can come back to bite you on occasion. I was looking up the Buehler and Porcello and how they did home versus road.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting because I thought Buehler was good at home. I didn't realize how dominant he had been at home, right? So he's got a sub-2 ERA in L.A.
Yeah, he's been lights out at Chavez Ravine. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I was looking at Porcello. He's actually a much better pitcher on the road than he is at home as well. So I think it's going to be a really good matchup. But again, there's something about this Boston team. I think they win tonight, and I think that they maybe lose Game 4, but then wrap it up in Game 6 or Game 5.
The Red Sox would win. I wavered between 6 and 7, kind of like you, and I obviously was hoping for a long series.
Yeah.
But overall, look, we've talked about, too, as good as they were in the regular season, there's something to be said about the hot team. And coming into the playoffs, they didn't cool off. They got even hotter. So it's well-deserved, whatever happens with them. So with that being said, you know, I think that they are the hot team right now. Obviously, Cora is pushing all the right buttons, from pitching to substitutions to the fact that, you know, when he changed and made changes in subs at third base with Nunez, it's worked out. With every single button he's pushed to this point has worked out, and that says something too. But all the cards are in the favor of the Red Sox.
Yep, I agree.
So that'll be something to watch. World Series tonight, more college football, also pro football on Sunday. We'll have our picks later in the show. So we'll continue to get all three of us to give you our opinions on some picks with the spreads in both college and pro. And Barry will get us caught up on how we're doing so far this season. We also have to do our picks. I don't know if you got yours in yet or not, Nick and Barry, but we have to get them in for AJ as well.
No, I haven't. That's what I've been working on.
I've been looking at them, too. I got to get those in as well. So plenty more to get to. We're just at the midway point of the show. We're going to continue to roll on, so don't go anywhere. And if you're in the Beaumont area, stop by and see us at 2325 Calder at Luke's Ice House. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. All kinds of specials and special people all around having fun. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books. 90 still to go in the big shows. We continue to roll on The Usual Suspects on an Friday. If you missed it, Barry was out yesterday. He's back today. Therefore, he did no work to prepare for the show, and we didn't have a comedian. But instead, he came through, thanks to Nick and others, including Radu in the studio, to get some comedians he's going to be working with tonight, as he is featuring at the Joke Joint.
Headlining. Don't.
Headlining and featuring, whatever. whatever it is. But let's get to the important stuff. So we've got some loyal suspects. We got one sitting right in front of us. The man's name is Charlie Brown. No, he doesn't have a dog named Snoopy, but yes, he does have a wife named Lucy.
Which is
that
hilarious.
Qualifies for me. I think that's fantastic. He did not tell me if his favorite candy is peppermint patties, and I don't care. The fact of the matter is, he's a loyal suspect. He listens to us anywhere and everywhere. Nick, it gets better. But the first funny line was, he goes to UT games in Austin, and he always listens to us. And his wife finally had to ask him if he would had to choose between her, if you know what I mean, and the suspects.
Having the sex.
She thinks he would take the suspects.
That's
really,
that is loyalty at its finest.
And I was all on board until.
I'm still there, Nick, and you will be too, because this is more reason when you hear this.
I'm not saying it. No.
So you know how Barry does it, Nick. You know, like, when he realizes, it's like he's going offshore fishing and he's got about a big marlin on the line. When he feels like this is going his way, he's going to reel that bad boy in. So he goes, Charlie, do we look like you thought we would look?
No. That's not how it started. He said.
That's why I told you to tell it.
I had the headphones on. He said, motioned to take the headphones off. He said, it's nice to put a face with the voice.
Okay.
And I said, do we look like what you thought?
And his answer was...
No, I thought you'd have on lipstick. So Charlie Brown can go to hell. All right? You know what?
Charlie Brown is now in the Hall of Fame of Usual Suspects in my book, Nick. Man. I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me because that was all world.
Call in anytime, buddy.
No, you shut
Charlie,
up,
Charlie, Nick just said you can call in anytime. You
not
can text anytime.
Here.
You are welcome anytime with Nick and I.
That's not right. I don't.
All right, now there's
man.
He said he's talking to you on the radio. When he calls in, that people hang up on him. But we'll make sure that doesn't happen. You just got to make sure that.
No, that's good. We're gonna keep it that way, Charlie.
Unless it's Barry. If Barry answers the phone, all bets are off now. So that's all we can do about it.
Hey, Nick, can we do this giveaway right now? You want to do this WWE Raw ticket giveaway?
Yeah, we can, definitely.
We good to go?
Yep.
Let's do it right now then. WWE Raw returns to Toyota Center December 3rd to broadcast live to the world right here from Houston, Texas. It's your chance to win a pair of tickets and not only see Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey return to Houston. You'll see Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
I'm going to go with Ambrose.
Yeah, there you go. Tickets to WWE Raw are still available. They start at just $20. Get yours at toyotacenter.com. But now's your chance to win. Be caller number 10, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 10, two tickets to WWE Raw December 3rd. Good luck. Have fun. Hey, look, he's trying to win right here in front of us. Yeah, that's smart.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, by all means and any means necessary. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and we love that. So while you were out,
yes,
anything caught your mind or strike up anything with you? Are you worried about the Rockets?
I am. I'm glad to see that they understand that they need to still make some moves. Defensively, they're obviously not good. That's the big worry right now. I'm not worried so much about, like, chemistry and the offense clicking and this. I think that you lost so much on the defensive side of the ball that it's already showing, which is not good. Not just the players, but I think Bezdelic was a big loss too. So it's I echo your sentiments that you said earlier in the show, which is I don't think this team is made up to or is playing like a team that could be second in the conference.
Here's my biggest concern, too.
They're
going
to have to do something.
Obviously, last year, you did something you have never done in the past as a franchise ever, right? 65 wins, franchise record, everything was clicking for you.
Yeah.
We talked about the Astros in terms of the breaks weren't going the same way as they were a year ago. I'm not going to go that far, but what I'm going to tell you is last year, you didn't endure a losing streak of three or four games, and you rarely lost two in a row. This year, when you look at it, the only thing that you can have is a silver lining. Oklahoma City started the season 0-4.
Yeah.
So you're not alone. You know, but the West is so convoluted this year, and you've added LeBron James and the Lakers, who, as bad as they looked early on, they beat the Nuggets at home, who were undefeated coming in last night. They've won two in a row. They're starting to look better. You can't take anything for granted that the difference between the 4 seed, the 5 seed, home court advantage. Those things, as much as you say, aren't decided in the early weeks of the season, can be when you go on a losing streak like Oklahoma City has, like the Rockets have struggled with. That's something that they got to keep in mind, too, because it's tight. It's going to be tight all the way down the stretch, and you're going to have to worry about the fact that you really and truly have to – every game matters. So it's going to be something that you really have to pay attention to because of the fact that, you know, you could be sitting there in a battle with Utah.
Here's the thing, though. You think, oh, well, it's early. You don't have to worry about it. The problem is the company that you're keeping already is outside of Oklahoma City and maybe the Wolves to a certain degree. The company that you're keeping at the bottom of the West isn't great, and it's people that you expect to see there with the Mavs and the Kings and the Suns.
Here's another thing on the Lakers, again,
I don't think the Lakers are a playoff team. I know you guys do, but
– I don't. I mean, I thought they're a playoff team, but I think at the bottom half. I'm not Stephen A. Smith and others who thought the Lakers are going to be in the Western Conference Finals. But here's the thing, too. When you think about it, when I'm doing this comparison between last year to this year, they stayed relatively healthy last year.
Right, already.
So now you've already got Harden with an injury, several others with an injury, Chris Paul with a suspension. This, all that means is even if you stay healthy the rest of the year and you hope that you do, you've already endured a setback and you know injuries are going to happen. And more things are going to be on the horizon that you don't expect. You're less prepared for them simply because of the fact that you were so healthy a year ago and now you've already started out slow, had an injury, had a suspension. There's not as much wiggle room as there was a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, it's such a long season. Mm-hmm. You can fade all this, especially early on. There's got to be a move, and you know Maury's going to make a move, but there has to be a move that gets made to make this team better.
The only blessing I see is the eye-opener and the reality check happened early.
Yeah.
In which he said, because of this, he can look at his roster and go, maybe we aren't as good as we were a year ago. Maybe we aren't as strong across the board as I thought we were, and I have time, but I better get cracking because I'm going to have to make some moves and some additions to make this team better.
One thing I wanted to circle back on, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Back to the Texans game real quick, because I was looking at the box scores. What were your thoughts on old Brock Osweiler and how he played?
I think the biggest takeaway that I had on Osweiler for the entire game was, I was telling you in one of the breaks, it wasn't one of those overwhelmingly wow kind of games from Deshaun Watson, because he didn't have to go the length of the field. He didn't have to make incredible throw after incredible throw. But the one thing he did was, if a guy was open, he got him the ball, and he got him the ball in a position where they could do something with it. And watching Brock Osweiler, it's not as simple as just this, but when you analyze what he did last night, he had guys wide open where he just had to took little touch over the top, just make the right throw in front of a guy. Instead, it was behind him. It was over their head. He missed wide open receivers. He didn't get the ball to guys in a position to do something more with it once they caught it. And that, in a nutshell, along with the 50-50 balls and some of the interceptions, is exactly why he's no longer a Houston Texan. He just is who we thought he was.
It's funny because I was watching it, and for a few moments, you're like, maybe he's not as bad as I thought he was.
I started out with that same perception.
And I'm like, let's give old Brock
Even the pick, you'll say, well, there was contact at the top of the route. Not enough contact that the ball was thrown 4 feet over the receiver's head and right into the breadbasket of your safety.
I mean, the good news is the Dolphins did have a passing touchdown.
Yeah, and it came from a guy that has Houston ties, It was Danny Amendola from the Woodlands who threw his first ever career touchdown pass.
Brock Osweiler. Yeah.
Look, he's a serviceable backup. He's one of those guys like David Carr, when you realize he's not what you thought he could be, he can carry a clipboard with the best of them and make big money. Not that he hasn't already, but he's not a primetime quarterback.
But I don't want to be picky, but when you sit here and think that it was a little over, year and a half, 2 years ago, where the Texans fans were sold a bill of goods that this was the guy.
Yeah, here's the thing. For all the
it's
things.
It's kind of like, and I know I don't want to harp on it because I hear, I think it's actually a promo that AJ does or that they have for the Blitz, where they talk about the fact that at some point Bill O'Brien tried to convince everybody that Tom Savage was better than Deshaun Watson, and that's why he started game one. At some point, this organization tried to convince everybody that Brock Osweiler was the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. And when you look at it, too, for all the things that everybody said, when it was going bad at the start of the year, too, maybe it wasn't Rick Smith. Maybe it was Bill O'Brien. No, because Rick Smith got you Brock Osweiler, then had to give up picks to get rid of Brock Osweiler, and also give up another pick to get Deshaun Watson, and his draft history and all the other things that he did. He has a ton to be blamed for as well. It's just amazing to me that Bill O'Brien, you don't hear anything negative about him or as much anymore.
Right.
Because when you're winning five in a row, it's tough to be too critical.
Can you say anything bad about the play calling last night?
Last night was as refreshing a Texans game offensively as I can remember in more than a year, simply because the playbook was open. There was a lot of movement. There was a lot of activity. There was a lot of deceptiveness that we haven't seen, even at the start of the winning streak, and especially when they were losing three in a row to start the year.
Here's the thing, and I know we got to go. I can't tell. Nick, are you playing music?
Yeah, I think he is.
We are.
Well, I can't hear. Okay, I'll do it after the break. Because I have comments on the play calling, and I don't know that it was much different than we've seen before, but it feels better, and I'll explain after the break.
Okay, sounds good. All right, we'll have that to look forward to and a lot more. If you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call, you can text, and, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Any homophobes here tonight? Sticking to online forums like usual. That's tight. I like that. Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm not homophobic or homophobic if you're Vietnamese. Just putting it out there. Saw this protest for I guess gay rights, and this guy in Houston had a sign. The sign says, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I like that anti-civil rights rhyme, because they act like the reason there's no Steve in the Bible is because of sexuality, when really there's no Steve in the Bible because that's a stupid name for a character in the Bible. That's the main reason, right? You couldn't open up Leviticus and then read like, and then Steve said unto the people. I don't know, wherever you guys want to eat or whatever you'd say, I don't know. I don't read the Bible. I'm more of a Quran guy myself, personally. You're laughing too hard, dude. Swallow it. Swallow it. Swallow it.
That was Zai Demji. He's going to be on the show with me tonight at Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, 8 p.m., along with Bryson Brown, Kristen Lindner, Dan Hornstein's on the bill, Rob Mungle. It's going to be a great time, man. We're going to have a good time at the moving party for the Joke Joint. So that was a clip from Zai Demji.
Very good stuff. And they're not moving far, right? So people don't have to worry about the Joke Joint like getting out. They're going to stay in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, bigger and better. So they're where the Fox and Hound used to be, right next door. Now, one,
oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So they'll have two different types of shows going on the same night. Most nights they'll have a restaurant, so you can go there and eat before you catch a show. So it's going to be nice, super fancy, big upgrade for them. I'm excited for my home club.
Good deal. Yeah. All right. So for the break, you had some stuff on your mind you wanted to.
Yeah. So we were talking Houston Texans. We were talking play calling. You said you were happy. You thought that it looked well, and I do agree with you. Here's the thing I'm curious about, though. And I'm not suggesting that all of the play calling has always been terrible. Nor am I going to suggest that all of the play calling has been great. Do I think that that Bill O'Brien had good play calls when it was first and goal from the 1 yard line and stuff? No, absolutely not. I mean, run a sneak at least once, right? But it's amazing how when plays are executed and when your offensive line opens up a hole for a running back, or they're able to buy enough time for Deshaun Watson to find somebody downfield. It's amazing how when the offensive unit executes as a whole and does so effectively, it makes it look like the play calling works, because then you can stomach a couple of three runs to the left that maybe get 2 or 3 yards here or there because the other plays are actually working.
And I see that.
Does that make sense, though?
Because it makes sense.
I think success in the play calling makes the play calling look better.
This is kind of like what you said about what AJ's comments were as well, about he tried to convince everybody that Tom Savage was the guy that should start. He tried to convince everybody for a long period of time. Look, what he did when Deshaun was on the field last year for 6 games was outstanding. But all of a sudden, I get it when Deshaun's not there. But when you get Deshaun Watson back and everybody's waiting for you to pick up where you left off and then add wrinkles and get better and better and better, he reverted all the way back to before Deshaun Watson, and it got worse. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, no matter what you tell me, no matter what you convince me of, I'm not going to believe that your play calls were the right play calls for the personnel that you have on the field and what you're trying to achieve as a football team. And here's the thing about last night. The running game, and I said before the game, if they have any semblance of balance, if Miller can get close to what he did the week before, even just get close to it, so you can keep the defense honest, it's going to help. I think it also helped that you finally had continuity on an offensive line. You weren't interchanging parts, whether it be from injury or benchings or whatever. Because offensive line, as much as you can have each guy that's pretty good at their own position, there has to be a chemistry and a cohesive unit-like approach to blocking. And like you said, he was still running outside the pocket. It wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but the fact that, one, they were opening up at least enough holes to keep him honest with a running game, and that they were keeping guys from absolutely unloading on him helps a lot, too. But I just saw a lot more movement, a lot more crossing in the middle of the field, a lot more kind of strategically using and getting, you know, guys in certain positions like D-Hop in the middle of the field to the sidelines, so the safeties had to lean that way, and then taking it over the top instead of just Deshaun, obviously, and some of that's on him, winding up throwing into double coverage.
Yeah.
But
well,
I'm not going to let Bill O'Brien off the hook.
Okay. I feel like when you see, you know, an offense executing like you expect it to, it tends to make you not think about the
sure.
play calling. And if they had been doing that before, if the offensive line had been creating some holes for Lamar Miller to run to, because you get sick of seeing, all right, well, here we go, first down, they're gonna hand the ball
yep.
off and just run into a wall and fall down and maybe gain a yard if that. So that's not always on the play call, because you have to establish the run at some point in the NFL. You have to be able to run the ball somehow, some way.
You're right. But keep in mind, to your point on that, the same point we made earlier, where winning five in a row takes a lot of the
sure.
negativity off the table for a lot of people, because they're not going to be as critical and they're not going to try and nitpick, because a win is a win, and five in a row is put you in a position where you are in first place in your division, which no one thought that they were going to see this year. But overall, I think at the end of the day, if you were to pull football experts and otherwise and say, is this team a championship contender? No. Is this team expected to be or have a really good shot to be in the conference championship game? No. I mean, they'll win the division, or they should.
They could.
They could, right? See,
I mean,
that's
look,
the thing.
Don't sleep.
The fact
that's
that you – that's the thing. There it is in a nutshell. Anybody that says they could instead of they should – knows exactly what we're talking about, because of the fact that there's just still a lot of doubt in the fact that this isn't a great football team.
I learned my lesson by pronouncing them dead at 0-3. I'm not gonna count the Jags out just yet.
I'm not either.
They have enough talent on the both yeah. sides of the ball to bring it back. Somebody said, hey, Joel, maybe the Packers can send Randall Cobb to Houston for a player or pick.
I think they might do that. I hate to say that, but I think they'd do that.
Wow.
He was on the block before the season started. Then they traded Jordy Nelson. Or they got rid of Jordy Nelson and passed on him. But I think as much as that would pain me, Randall Cobb would be a great fit here.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
All
right, we're going to continue to roll on. Two in the books, one to go. 1 hour still to go of the show. And we're going to have the Sports Mappers join us next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects from Luke's and Beaumont on ESPN 97.5.